I want to start with a little question with some audience participation. Have you ever received an unusual present? I googled unusual presents and came up with this crocheted bean tin with beans. That would be pretty unusual. And I'm going to start the ball rolling, and then if one or two of you can share, putting your thinking caps on, what's the most unusual present you've received? Come on, share with us. I'll just start. One year, some of my students at school decided to club together to give me not the traditional sort of chocolates or other things, but because I was a maths teacher and they thought I loved numbers, a dartboard. Now, if you've seen me play darts, okay, that's a dangerous gift to give. Okay, I believe Mass has got in his garage a dartboard. I'm looking forward to finding the dartboard occasionally in playing with him. Right? Maybe he's decided he's not going to invite me into his pristine garage. But anybody got just a bit of fun? Any unusual gift? We're starting a new series. We're actually going to have one now, and then there's going to be a break in the run-up to Pentecost for various reasons, and then we're going to resume it end of May, beginning of June. And it's actually one that I, sort of as part of the leadership team, just felt laid on my heart that would be good for us to consider. And it is entitled Wholehearted Giving. Put your faith into action. And we're going to be thinking about, over 4 Sundays, different aspects of wholehearted giving. This morning we're going to be thinking about wholehearted giving in the challenging area of money and possessions. And then later on, at the end of May, beginning of June, thinking about our bodies, minds, time and skills, and our relationships. And I want us to actually take up where we left off a couple of weeks ago. This is the first time I can remember, I think ever, that I've spoken twice quite so close together, because those that were here will know I spoke a couple of weeks ago. And I left off when we were looking at encounters with Christ, post-resurrection these were, okay, with this little diagram. And I've sort of recycled it, literally, for us here. As we consider that what wholehearted giving means, my prayer is that we will experience God's touch in these areas, that he will touch us and perhaps visit us in a different way, but that we will experience some teaching, whether it's from the front, whoever's speaking, or whether it's God's Spirit teaching us, or through our Bible reading, and then we will be transformed in these areas of our lives, so that we truly are wholehearted givers. I think it'd be good just to pray now that that would be the case. So, Father, we just ask that you would touch each one of us where we are and what our situation is with regard to, yes, the topics that we're looking at, but more generally, our lives in general. That you would teach us what we need to be taught, and then you would transform us to bring glory to you and to enjoy doing so. In Jesus' name. Amen. So let's just start with an initial thought. And this is true for the topic that we're looking at today, but also more generally for all these topics. Our giving should be a reflection of God's gracious giving to us. The passage that Peter shared earlier from Philippians 2, which is very special to Liz and myself, as it was read at our wedding, says our attitude should be the set like Christ. It should be a reflection of God's gracious giving to us. And that's my prayer for myself and for each of us here this morning. We today are going to be looking at the challenging area of money and possessions. And those that have been with us on the journey joining Pioneer may not be aware that actually Pioneer encouraged churches at least once a year to address the issue of giving. Not to tip people upside down and say, give more, but to encourage people instead to prayerfully, wisely consider their giving, both of their money, their financial things, but also of their possessions. I am blown away by the generosity of huge numbers of people in this church. Yes, financially. Yes, in their possessions, but also in all the other aspects that we're going to be considering. But it does us well to every so often just consider, are we right in the center of God's will in this area of giving? Are we right in the center of his will? So this morning, in their wisdom, and it was wisdom, TJ and Ray, who are coordinating our sermon series, our preaching series, chose a passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. So if you've got the Bibles that we're using in church, I'd encourage you to turn to them. If you haven't, turn to your own. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 to 12, which is page 803 in these Bibles that we're sort of encouraging people to use, that we're sort of, if you like, reading the same version rather than trying to translate from your version to the version that's being read. So we're reading just, seven verses from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at verse 6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but it is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Amazing passage, full of so many encouragements and challenges. And I encourage you to either have it open, but I'm going to be projecting the relevant bits for different parts of what I'm talking about. I'm going to look at three aspects of our giving. And what I would encourage you to think is, how can I apply it, yes, in my financial giving, but also how can I apply it in that use of my possessions? We're going to start by looking at what attitude should we have for wholehearted giving of our money and possessions. And very quickly, using mainly verses 6 and 7, look at four bits of the attitude. The first bit is being generous, generosity. I remind you, we should be reflecting God's gracious giving to us. God has been generous to us. We should reflect that. We should be generous. And within that is also the generosity implies also being prepared to be sacrificial, being prepared to give up. And I'm going to be doing quite a lot of points, and I'm not going to spend lots of time, but I will be at the end offering a simple handout for you to go away and just think about things. But the first attitude is generosity. Where do we see it? We see it in verse 6, where it says, whoever sows generously will also reap generously. But it also, later on, in verse, I think it was 11, talks about generosity, and that should be a feature, an attribute, an attitude of our giving. But the second one, which is perhaps even more challenging, is that it should be cheerful. Shouldn't be done grumpily thinking, well, I suppose I have to do this, don't I? Again, all right. Okay, that God loves a cheerful giver. Do you find giving fun? God wants you to find it fun. That's part of his plan for us. I encourage you to have that attitude of fun, of being cheerful. But it should not be something that you feel compelled and pressed down to do. It should be an attitude of freedom, of freely. Giving shouldn't be oppressive or dictated by church leaders. You must give this amount. And that's why we as a church don't have, as some churches do, a regular giving talk. Some churches have a giving talk, basically saying you ought to be giving. It should be something that is a gentle yoke rather than a heavy yoke. It should be something that you are freely responding to. It's like, actually, us responding to God's offer of forgiveness. We are free to choose whether to accept it or not. Likewise, we are free to choose about our giving. We see that in verse 7, where it's clearly stated, not reluctantly or under compulsion. So I am not here to say, give, give, give. What I'm here to say is, that we should be adopting the attitude of Christ in seeking to give of ourselves to reflect what God has given us. And finally, in attitude, and I could have added other attitudes, but I was trying to get ones for this one from this passage. There's gratitude. And I imply that by the not reluctantly. That there's gratitude. That there is a grateful response to what God has done for us. And if we are adopting these four attitudes, it will help us in making A, it reflect God's giving to us, but B, us actually enjoying giving. And I remind you, I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about how we use our possessions. So what I propose at the moment is that we just, first of all, just spend a few seconds, just quietly in our hearts, asking God to give us the attitude to giving reflected by those verses, those characteristics, before we move on. So that's the attitude, but if you like, what's the using a probably not quite a right. What's the process, the method? How do we put it into practice? How do we put into practice wholehearted giving of our money and possessions? God doesn't say, well, you disengage your mind, you just give everything, and so on. He says we are to engage our minds in giving. And that will be linked to our situation, both in terms of finances and possessions. That will affect how we can realistically respond. If you look at it, in verse 7, it says, each of you should give what you have decided. It should be planned, and it should be wise, using wisdom. Okay. The planned aspect. It's very easy to think about Christian giving, or giving to God, as, well, I'll wait and see what's left at the end of the month. That is one way. But I would argue that it's probably not the way that God would desire us. Because the danger is that at the end of the month, we have nothing. In the Old Testament especially, there were sort of first fruits, and I'm not going to go into the theology of all the different types of gifts, etc. But basically, quite often, there was an encouragement to give the first part, but do it wisely. And that's part of the planning, saying, I believe, having prayed about it, that I'm called to give this amount, or I am called to share this with others. So for some of us, that means we are able to set up standing orders, but we recognize for some that might not be the right way forward. But I'd encourage you, you haven't set up standing order and you think God's calling you to do so, to think about doing that. That's part of planning, part of wisdom, part of sacrifice. But you also need wisdom in terms of to who. And the hope would be, if you're a part of this church, that you feel, yes, some of your giving, and quite possibly a significant part of your giving, would be to the local community. But God can be calling you, and is calling us quite often, to give to other causes that he has laid upon our heart. But it's planned, it's wise. But the danger is that we just try and do it very methodically. Being a maths teacher, I like to sort of have listed out A, B, C. Not 1, 2, 3, because we're maths teachers, algebra, okay, letters. But A, B, C. But it ought to always be spirit-led as well. In other words, submitting ourselves to God and asking the Holy Spirit to guide us. Again, in the passage, there's that little phrase, what you've decided, not in your mind, but in your heart to give. Okay? And I've put underneath Galatians 4, verse 6, because I think that's helpful. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts. Spirit who calls out Abba, Father. If we have given ourselves over to following Christ, God promises the Spirit. And in this area of giving, he wants to guide us. But not only should it be Spirit-led, but how do we put it into practice? It ought to be proportional. What do I mean by proportional? Well, it's a maths phrase, but it means that those that have more will be expected. And that is a biblical principle. Jesus says it and others. So what I would encourage us to think about is taking on board the first two things. thinking about proportional. Some of you, or many of you, will be aware of the principle of tithing. That was true of giving in the Old Testament. It is less clear-cut in the New. Tithing, for those that don't know, is a 10%, one-tenth principle. Some people find that a helpful starting point from which to consider, is God calling me to give more or less? Now, we know for some people, it may well be significantly less because they have less. That doesn't mean that they definitely give less, but what I'm saying is there is no judgment. There is, if they're doing spirit-led, perfectly good. But likewise, for those that are given more, that 10% shouldn't be seen as, well, I've met the law, therefore I'm all's good. It should be that we're choosing to follow God's leading as to how generous he has called us to be, while still being cheerful, remember? Please, and we're just encouraging you at this stage of the year just to consider your giving. Not to tell you what to do, but to encourage you to seek God's will for your situation. And the final thing that I've put in the process is that it should be hidden. Giving should be done in private and not done with a fanfare. In Matthew 6, first four verses, Jesus addresses that, where he basically says, your giving to the needy and to others should be done in private. It shouldn't be done with a fanfare. It's all part of, if you like, storing up your riches in heaven. It's not saying, look at me, what I'm doing down here on earth. It's between you and God. And again, as we come to the end of the second section, I'm just going to pause and just encourage you to think about those four bits of practice. Is there one that is just speaking to you, saying, maybe I haven't quite got this fully nailed down? Am I challenged by this? So we'll again just have a little pause. And finally, and I'll show you more briefly, the third aspect that I'd like us to consider. What happens if we are wholehearted in our giving of our money and possessions? Well, first of all, others will be blessed. If we now turn to the later part of the passage, verses 8 to 12, we see a couple of phrases emphasized. They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, and they've supplied the needs of Lord's people, but it is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks. We'll be looking, if we are giving, we are looking after, yes, this church community. It talks about that, supplying the needs of the Lord's people. But it also emphasizes that it should go beyond that, our giving. And that's both our local community, but we know both as a church and individually, individuals give to things that bless individuals way beyond the Ramsden Estate in Orpington. Others will be blessed. But also, there will be blessing for us. There will be blessing for us. Adopting the right attitude of giving and putting it into practice results in blessing for ourselves. Now, I'm not preaching here the prosperity gospel. What I am preaching is that God will bless us in terms of joy, peace, and the fruit of the Spirit. It's liberating. It's joyful. It's exciting. We will be blessed. And see what is said in 2 Corinthians 9. God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Loads of alls there, which are pretty exciting. Do you believe that? That God will bless you? You're not doing it because of blessing. You're doing it because God has first blessed us. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. That blessing, if you like, that virtuous circle, the touching, the teaching, the transformation, isn't just to stop there with you, that blessing. It's to encourage further blessing, both to others and then to you, and so on. And I just encourage you. But also, it brings glory to God. Godly giving results in glory being given to God. Hallelujah. See how they love one another. It's a phrase that we associate with the early church and should be with us. How generous, how cheerful they are in giving of themselves, whether it's, yes, financial and possessions, or whether it's other things that we'll be talking about in the later sessions on this mini-series, if you like. If you want exciting things to see, how glory is given to God, but also how people benefit, look at the early church in Acts 2 and beyond. Be excited. Because we see that it says it will result in thanksgiving to God. And then right at the end, in many senses, I could have highlighted in many expressions of thanks to God. And finally, our giving results in a legacy. Godly giving leaves a legacy of changed lives. We're challenged not to store up treasures, as I've referred to already, for ourselves here on earth. We're challenged to store up treasures in heaven. And one of the biggest treasures we can store up is actually being used by God to change others' lives. We see the writer saying, their righteousness endures forever. And then the harvest of your righteousness. What happens when we give wholeheartedly? Others are blessed. We're blessed, God is glorified, and a legacy is left. I want that for myself. Do you want that for yourself? Okay. Couple of final thoughts, and I had already thought of this, but Martin from our growth group reminded me after our meeting on Friday of this. We are stewards of what God has given us. If you believe your money is your own, if you believe your possessions are your own and I'm just going to use them as I want to, that is one approach. I would argue it's not a Christian, godly approach. God has given us whatever he has given us to use, yes, for his glory, yes, for enjoyment for ourselves, and one mustn't forget that he has given us good things to enjoy, but also to care and support and bring good for others. They've been given for us to steward rather than to hoard and say, all mine, precious mine. I've put final thoughts because I have a second one. Our giving should be sacrificial. If we're just giving a little bit and we hardly notice that we're giving it, is that actually godly giving? I would argue not. And this is where the rubber hits the road of individuals and us individually And if you're in a partnership with your partner, I would encourage to actually think about, what does sacrificial giving look like for us? Why should our giving be sacrificial? Because we should be reflecting God's sacrificial giving of Jesus for us. We've been celebrating Jesus' ultimate sacrifice for us. Whatever we give can only be a pale reflection of that. But I'd encourage you to prayerfully consider, what does sacrificial giving look like for you, for me? And those that have heard me speak will know that one of my favourite quotes is from Jim Elliot, a Christian martyr of the late, well, mid to late 20th century, where he says, "He is no fool who gives up what he can't keep to gain that which he cannot lose." And when I read that as a student, I said, that's one of the mottos, if you like, I would like to live my life by. There have been a lot of thoughts there. One or two people have been taking photos. But I have done a sheet, and I would encourage as many of you as possible to take one of these home and to actually prayerfully consider. So at the end, I will come and distribute those. I'll also, I'll probably need a helper, distribute, we've done for May to August, the key dates, so that you can be informed as to what's happening. That's an aside. But I encourage you, God may be challenging you to change the way you approach your giving. He may not. But I think it's important, as Pioneer encourage us, to at reasonably regular intervals consider our giving. Is it being spirit-led? Is it wise? But is it something that is bringing joy, and we are going to be a cheerful giver? It could be, yes, considering how much, but it could be, to whom are you giving? It could be when. I would encourage you that if we adopt a wholehearted approach to giving in our money and possessions, then it's exciting. But it needs to be done in prayerful partnership with the Lord. And again, just to finish, we'll just have a moment of quiet when you can just sort of, again with God, just say, Lord, please, please guide me as to how I can, yes, give sacrificially, but also joyfully. Father, we want to be your wholehearted servants. Please touch us, teach us, and transform us as you see fit. In Jesus' name. Amen.